Thank you to all who lead us in worship. Thank you, Spirit of the living God, that you are here to lead us together in worship of the one who alone is worthy. Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God. BBC Talkback last week featured an interview with Gerry Adams, one segment of the program. Before he appeared on the show at the time, they played part of a Garth Brooks song, If Tomorrow Never Comes. Now, apparently, Gerry Adams loves Garth Brooks, and he particularly likes that song. And it was chosen, I guess, for that reason. He was going to speak about his life and his legacy as he retired last weekend from leadership in the Sinn Féin party. Not everyone was very pleased with his choice of music. I'm not sure how you felt about it. I know that Jim Shannon, the Strangford MP and a victim campaigner, he said that the choice was wrong and the song was totally inappropriate. Gerry Adams obviously didn't think so. It says a lot about him and about his life. Salvation belongs to our God. You may be aware that my way for perhaps, I think it's 6 out of the last 8 years, has been the number one choice for funerals. I know that sadly within the life of the congregation here, there have been a number. And when funerals take place in this meeting house and as many others, hymns are very often, or psalms are the choice. But amongst people at large out there in the world, hymns, sadly, have lost their luster. We'll sing a great Charles Wesley hymn at the close of our service today. People don't choose them because people don't know them. Any wonder, or little wonder, that we as a society have lost our way? Because we have lost our sense of God. And my way is the number one choice for most people. Because that's the way we choose to live our lives. My way. Not God's way. Not God's way revealed in Jesus Christ. So whenever God says, comfort, comfort my people, and he's talking about Jesus in the prophecy of Isaiah, in the gospel of Isaiah, at the heart of the story of pain and loss, of the exile that would befall the children of Israel, the people of Judah, Isaiah's people all those years ago. Salvation belongs to our God. But it wasn't an easy message for people to hear. And it still isn't today. But it's why it's a delight to come here into this place, because you love to sing and you're well led by your organist and by your praise band. And June and I were reflecting coming over this morning from Port Stewart. It's one of the things that we love about coming into this place, because it's filled with worship and praise. It's what the writer, the Apostle John, in Revelation chapter 7, he put it like this: and all who were gathered around the throne, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing their white robes, holding palm branches in their hands. You can imagine the excitement, and now you can hear the clamor. And they cried with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all of the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces, along with those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they fell down and they said, amen, amen, to what the gathering of God's people had already declared. Salvation belongs to our God. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Now that's a song to choose for the story of your life. If you were asked onto Desert Island Discs, I don't know what you would choose. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And that's what those who were gathered from every tongue and tribe and nation, and from every time and from every place, because that's what God has promised. He who alone can and does work salvation. And if you know this God, and if you're a follower of Jesus, then that's what resonates, that's what rises in your heart, along with the angels and all who are gathered around the throne. You also are saying amen and praise and honor and glory and blessing and strength. It's all yours, Lord. And that's why you're here Sunday by Sunday. And that's what makes a difference to the way you live your life day by day, because you know this God. I like to choose a book to read. I'm almost finished it, actually. I've started it, and I'm well through it. And it's entitled Salvation Belongs to Our God, written by Chris Wright, a great Old Testament scholar. And this is what he says. The grand finale of any great piece of music is usually very moving. The closing song or climactic chorus, the final dance, usually ends in thunderous applause as the audience is swept up as it receives the message of the whole work. And this is what he says. The Bible ends with this climactic final chorus. Salvation belongs to our God. And in your spirit and in your heart, you want to say, let me hear you say it. Amen. No, let me hear you say it. Amen. Amen. Yes. Salvation belongs to our God. It's not a long song, but it's a song that comes at the end of a very long story, what we call salvation history. Read the Bible from beginning to end. God who made things well, and when they weren't right, and they weren't, he chose to put them right. When you and I messed up, and that's the story of the fall and the story of you and I leaving our mark on God's beautiful creation, and you do it as I do, as my grandchildren do, we leave those marks constantly. And God is the one who comes along and makes a difference. Salvation belongs to our God. And that's the cry of those who know this God and who trust in this Savior. Revelation sounds this glorious triumph that all is well, and all has been done well according to God's will. And the songs that we are looking at today and in a couple of weeks from Isaiah, this gospel in the Old Testament, speak of how God chooses to intervene. Interestingly, if you get a chance to read it, along with that book, Salvation Belongs to Our God, I'm also reading Isaiah. I read it during Advent. It's one of my favorite books. It's the gospel in the Old Testament. But I'm reading it during this period of Lent, 6 weeks between now and Easter Sunday. Read a book, a Christian book, and find out more about what God has done. And read this book and discover again what God has done for you. Salvation belongs to our God. It rises in your heart, doesn't it? And it finds its way onto your lips. These songs in Isaiah chapter 42, chapter 49, chapter 50, and chapter 53, they speak of this. Later in chapters 58 and 59, we read God saying, I looked for someone who would intervene, but I didn't find anyone. And so God decided to do it for himself and to do it himself. And this is the story of God doing what only God can do, because salvation does belong to our God. There is no one else who could do it for you or who has done it for you save our God. These are called the servant songs. And is it any wonder that this book, Isaiah's prophecy, is quoted more often than any in the New Testament? And Jesus took these words and he used them and he allowed them to be used about himself to describe his gospel ministry, his good news ministry. Here is my servant, Isaiah says. And that's Jesus. the one I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out. He will not raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. This is the central message of the scriptures and of Isaiah's gospel, that God is sovereign. He has made all things and he rules over all things, and he is the Savior. For he does what he alone as God can do, and that no other God can do, because he alone is God. The God who is good and the God who saves. Salvation belongs to our God. It wasn't an easy message to hear in Isaiah's time. There were many other rulers. Yes, they had their kings, and they came and they went. The kings of Judah, sadly, did not always walk in the ways of the Lord. They led their people astray, and their people were more than happy to be led astray, and they left their mark. And so the exile would come, and its pain, the judgment that is found spoken of so clearly in the first part of Isaiah's prophecy. And then God speaks comfort. Comfort my people, because I am going to do something that only I can do. And there were many other gods in the nations round about, and even their practices, the practices of the other gods and the nations round about, had found their way into the life of the people of God. And in chapter 44, the Lord says, "Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it." He challenges, he dares other gods to stand up and to speak up. Can you do anything save mess up the life of my people? And the answer is no, they can't, because it is only God who can save the life of his people. This is the God who saves. This is the sovereign God who alone can be trusted. Truly and fully revealed, of course, in Jesus Christ. We know there were layers of meaning and of understanding in the time of Isaiah as the kings came and they went. These servants' songs are set in the context of Judah preparing to go into exile in Babylon. Their exile and return, it would take something like 150 years as the second part of Isaiah unfolds. But God spoke of that. God prophesied the nation's coming judgment and that they would return under a Gentile king. And again, in the prophecy of Isaiah, we're even told in chapter 45, the name of that king, Cyrus. God tells them what it will be like, how desolate to lose all that they have known and enjoyed, and how good it will be when there is a regathering to the land, a rebuilding of the temple, and the restoration of God's people when he calls them back. And that's the history, that's the story of God's people behind this wonderful prophecy. But in every part, it speaks so much more clearly and pointedly to Jesus Christ, who is this world's Savior, who alone from God and as God has done for you what God alone can do for you. Salvation belongs to our God. It points to Christ, and what a picture we have of him, the servant of the Lord, introduced to us, one upheld, one chosen, one in whom the Father takes delight, one in whom the Spirit rests, through whom the promise of true justice will come. And it is God who is doing this, and we are introduced to the one who will do it for you and for me. Here is my servant. I nearly said to the children earlier on, there's also a place that my house is remarkable. Yeah, the mirrors do get wiped and the windows do get washed, and And all the stuff that's on the floor, well, it does get lifted. There's a place in the house I love to take when you get a little warm preaching and you take off this shirt and I just love to throw it down. That's done. Thank you, Lord. It's remarkable. When I come back, I discover it's not there anymore. And the next time I see it, it's hanging up. It's pressed and it's fresh. And my beloved is here somewhere. And I better be careful what I say. Here is my servant. Ladies, you're not to be put upon like that, nor men either. But there is one who embraced that. And the gospel, of course, takes this up and says of Jesus, he didn't come to be served, he came to serve. What a thrill to know that this was the way God chose to do it. He is the servant of the Lord, and the Father chose for love's sake to send his Son for you to make a difference in your life. And it's these simple words, here is my servant. And it's this beautiful picture that introduces him. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. These are metaphors that describe people like you and me who are almost crushed, extinguished at the end of ourselves, counting for almost nothing. And yet he has chosen to take up with someone like me, someone like you. Such hope for people who have no hope is found in the Lord's servant. Here he is. Here is my servant, Father God says. It's remarkable. I'm not a great royal watcher, but I used to love Suits, the American legal show. And Meghan Markle appeared long before she ever became famous. She was in Suits and still is, I guess, or maybe not so much now. Has she been written out of it? But she has brought royal protocol very much into focus. I've been reading just a little bit this week about the rules for greeting. She had to, the six things Meghan Markle has to, you can go and Google it, six things she has to learn about dealing with her to-be mother-in-law, etc. Greetings, curtsy, small talk, time for tea, sitting like a lady, and so on. I was interested this week because one of the headlines said, Meghan Markle breaks the rules. When someone reached out their hand to shake her hand, she threw her arms around them. Now, a royal doesn't do that, apparently. She'd broken the rules. She's a lot to learn about royal protocol. And the story this morning, my friends, the gospel this morning is, this is the one who has come and how. Here is my servant. And not only will he sit with you and sit in your place and walk in your shoes, he has chosen to get under your skin, to understand what you feel and what you face, and to know the way that you walk and the pain that you feel. He understands that. And we'll be reflecting on that in the fourth of the servant songs from Isaiah 53 in a couple of weeks' time. The servant who came would know his place. Meghan Markle's learning hers. But Jesus knew his place. It was to show that he knew his place. And it was to do the Father's will and to establish the Father's kingdom. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. And he will not falter, he will not be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. And in his law, the law of love, the royal law of love, the islands will put their hope. This is the gospel. And it's found through the coming of Jesus and God's choice. When he found no one else to do it and no one upon the earth upon whom he could rely. And he said, I will intervene. And he would. And he did. And he has. And his name is Jesus. Here is my servant. And Isaiah reminds us he will not falter or be discouraged. Listen, Jesus would face setbacks. We'll read how he was despised and he was rejected. But you and I know the end of the story. If you can wait 6 weeks, it's why the Sundays in Lent are not counted in the 40 days of Lent. Because the resurrection story is so exciting. Salvation belongs to our God. We can't stop singing it or saying it because it's true, it's glorious. We already know the end from the beginning as God does. We know what he's going to accomplish. But you and I need to find, especially in the midst of despair in these days, who's ruling over us? Who's speaking for us? Who's doing anything for us at the top of the hill? In East Belfast, there is one who acts. The God who says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people, life to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness, and I will take hold of your hand. And he promised that to the servant he would send, and he promises that to the servant people whom he continues to send in the name and in the service of this glorious Savior, Jesus. And he sends you and I out, just like Jesus, to those most in need, because they most need to know that salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God. And you may know a bruised reed, and Jesus will not break. Or you may feel like a smoldering wick, and he will not extinguish that light or that life within you. And there are members of your family who feel like that. There may be some here today who feel like that. And my job is to point to him who is the servant and who does not falter and is not discouraged in what he does and who has come to bring comfort, God's comfort, to his people and to all people. I will keep you, I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That might be you today, spiritually, before God, or someone you know, and those around us in our community and across this broken world. And the servant of the Lord was promised. And what a choice God made to send his son, to come in person, in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus. Salvation belongs to our God. Now go and live that out. Show that you know that this is true today. What do we learn? What does this mean for us? Just one or two simple lessons, if I may. We are not to despair. Yes, we are in a mess, and we'll think more of that in a couple of weeks' time. We are clearly in a mess in terms of leadership and community life and cohesion in these days. But there is one who knows and one who has sent his servant, and the servant knew what needed to be done, the Father's will. And you and I are called, as we are refreshed through our praises and our prayers and our gathering together and our meditation upon these glorious truths, there is one who knows. See, God says, the former things have taken place. I know what's in the past, and I can deal with that. if you can't. I will not give my glory to another, he says. Today, I alone can be the Lord. And new things I will declare. I know what lies ahead and the new that you need. And I am the Lord. And it is for us a matter of faith that we do not despair. And as well as finding a book to read and finding this book to read, let me encourage you to spend the next 6 weeks, the Good Friday Agreement 20 years ago. Spend the next 6 weeks, less 2 days, on your knees. What else is going to change this place or that place in Belfast? What is going to change it? Unless you and I do not despair, but get down on our knees and cry to God. In a moment or two, we will pray the Lord's Prayer together, and we will say, Your kingdom come. Pray it as though you believe it. Your will be done. Pray it as though you believe it. For the Lord says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And he knows what he's doing. And David Robertson reminded us as 8 churches together in the last few days to be confident in Christ. Yes, he comes as a servant. And his ways are gentle and meek, but he comes as the Savior. And he can save us. He can save us from the plight that we face in these days. And if you do nothing else for the next 6 weeks, less 2 days, pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And read the headlines, Northern Ireland in crisis. And pray over that and pray into it. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Do not give up. And do not despair, for there is one who understands and can make such a difference. You and I are called not to despair. You and I are called to live out this glorious truth. I've had the opportunity, as I'd said to you before, to spend some 15 years of active service in Southeast Asia. There, they practice Lent very regularly, consistently. It's important to think, why did Jesus go up to Jerusalem, or what did he accomplish through that journey that he faced? Use this time to think well of that. I want to tell you of a friend. His name's Wei Leong, Go Wei Leong. You can Google him, actually. He's a star. Now, he's the most unassuming man you could meet. He was a member of the congregation I was involved with all those years ago. Wei Leong was voted the number one Singaporean of the year for 2017. It was announced just a couple of weeks ago. And there are lots of very interesting headlines. I've read the whole story because I know this young man and I know his life. I know his parents. I know what was invested in him. He trained to be a doctor. And like many doctors, Singapore, which is a meritocracy, big salary, he bought himself a Maserati. He had everything at his fingertips, but he was a Christian in service of the Lord. And he knew that that wasn't enough. And on a mission trip to Mongolia, he discovered the Lord saying to him, because you know him, because you know me, you must show me. That's what the Lord said to Wei Leong. And he went back to Singapore a different man. And he sold his Maserati and got whatever he got for it. And he bought a tiny little house in Chinatown, or on the edge of Chinatown in Singapore. And right beside him was an opium den. Still today, this was 30 years ago, but still in modern Singapore, people still into drugs and gambling and all of that, all of the vices of the modern world. And Wei Leong felt a call to go to those who were bruised or beaten up or forgotten, or all that the law wanted to do was to get hold of them and throw them in jail and throw away the key. And Wei Leong set up Health Serve, sold his Maserati, gave up his lucrative private practice, and set up a simple Health Serve practice, particularly for migrant workers and for those who could get medical care from nobody else because they had no money. And they were despised. They were rejected. And isn't it amazing? Here's a very simple Christian lad, yes, with a very good academic background and a lovely family and all of that behind him. But he heard the Lord speak on a mission trip and sent him back to his prosperous country, to Singapore, to give away all that he had to become a servant. This would have been a better headline for me over that young man's life. 58 he is today. Singaporean of the year. Here is my servant showing off Jesus, who was presented to you and to me this morning. Here is my servant. And he has done this for you, smoldering wick. He would do this for you, bruised reed. What a difference he will make. He forgives our sins. He heals our hurts. He opens our eyes. He frees us from whatever prisons we are in. He releases us. He delivers us. That's what salvation means. And isn't it glorious that you and I know today, and we need to show it in the days to come? Salvation belongs to our God. Amen. Amen. We're going to pause and reflect and sing this lovely song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord."